This is our own ORPC Sound of Music and Singing families at work this morning. It's really appreciative of them. This morning we're going to continue our look into Proverbs and into chapter 2 and 3. So I would like you to have your Bible open to chapter 2 and 3 because the scripture reader will not be able to read the entire two chapters. So I'm going to help you take a look at these two chapters and understand what are some of the benefits of, and values of having wisdom and Proverbs in our midst. So please follow along. Last week, we looked at the purpose of Proverbs and how we may embrace wisdom. And we were told to listen carefully, choose wisely, and discipline ruthlessly. And in conclusion, we were reminded not to waste our life. Now today we're going to continue and take a look at wisdom and see how wisdom gives us many blessings. Here it is an appeal from the Father, exhorting the son or the children as they seek wisdom to be wise, and yet at the same time to warn him against the ruin that may come from folly. Chapter 6, as we go into that, and we will understand that there are many ways of looking at wisdom, and sometimes we elevate wisdom on a pedestal and not careful, and we see the flip side of wisdom. When I was younger, I used to enjoy westerns like Lone Ranger, Tonto, for example, High Noon for a few dollars more. For those of you who are old enough, you'll know about these titles. A Fistful of Dollars, etc., etc. And of course, the literature study on Shane. I'm not sure if you've read Shane as a novel. Amongst them was a movie called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. A movie which was actually a trilogy starring Clint Eastwood, Lee Van Cleef, and Eli Wallach. So too, in life, they are good, the bad, and ugly. For instance, if you remember this guy who was from South Africa, the Paralympian Oscar Pistorius, when he went on trial for killing his model girlfriend, and when the judge declared that he was not guilty for murder, but only for culpable homicide. Many had cried foul on that verdict. Now, the family of River Steenkamp had to come to terms with her death. Now, who was good? Who was bad? Who was the ugly? The problem is that the good becomes bad, the bad looks ugly, and the ugly can be good. And so if we are not careful, we have a lot of problem in discerning the good from the bad and the bad from ugly. Perhaps some of you might have remembered, too, this man by the name of O.J. Simpson. If you are old enough, way back in 1994, he also went on trial for killing his girlfriend. And he was cleared of murder when the judges accepted very high-profile lawyers and their submission that the DNA was not conclusive, and at that time, the use of DNA is not as advanced as today. And he was kind of let scot-free to a certain extent. And again, a lot of people were not very happy. If you have high-profile lawyers who can argue their way through, the bad becomes good and can turn bad to good. And so we need to begin to think about what is happening to us in our society. One more example, perhaps, the Japanese doomsday cult leader, when he was arrested, somebody came forward and killed him. Many people actually rejoiced with the murderer because he actually put down someone they don't like. So that murder became acceptable, good. And so too in life, and similarly in wisdom, and wisdom can go awry. In this case, wisdom may actually turn out to be follies as we look at it. And let me give you a few examples. We first are introduced to this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Where we were told that the serpent was more crafty, and the word crafty is used, and subtle than any other creature. Did God really say? The serpent asked. And that was wisdom, isn't it? It was a certain wisdom, but a wisdom that was twisted to such an extent that makes you think again, hey, maybe there's some truth in the other ways of looking at things. And so we look at it and say, well, did God really say? It put a doubt into our mind. In fact, it can be said that the serpent tempted Eve with the hope of a greater wisdom by directing Eve to the tree of good and evil. Again, good and bad. Now you can differentiate between good and bad. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? It's a fantastic thing to have. There's wisdom in it, isn't it? But if you listen to that wisdom, you fall. In the Old Testament, there were also other forms of diabolical wisdom, and certain wise men were described as magicians in Genesis 41, verse 8. Wisdom used in negative ways. Or in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 8 to 9, the wisdom of a wise was denounced by the prophet as the very opposite of faith. And so some wisdom can be twisted and bring about fall. So what then are ungodly wisdom? And let me digress and help you take a look at three forms here. Three forms is not so much the wisdom itself is the problem, but the people who approach wisdom. And Proverbs give us these three different kinds of people. The first is a kind that is called the simple. Okay, the simpleton, they call them, is one who is easily deceived, gullible, naive, even silly, accepting anything as true and correct. But really, such a person is actually morally irresponsible. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 says, the waywardness of the fools. Fools are easily led away from the truth simply because there's so much casualness. We call it tita apa attitude. Okay, just don't care. Why bother? And this is the kind of lazy thoughtlessness that needs to be woken up by somebody. And you need somebody to come to the back and whack the person. And, oh, you mean it's wrong. And that's what the Proverbs writer has told us. It's Mike the scorner and a simple will learn sense. And still other simpletons are into such attitude, not because they are not intelligent, not because they do not understand, but because they do not care. They just let things be. Now, this is the first form. There's wisdom, but we care less about wisdom. And we fall. Second kind are what the Proverbs call fools. In Proverbs, three words are translated fools. And the most common of them occurred about 50 times and denotes someone who is obstinate, stubborn, one who is more keen and concerned with his looks and brains, as though he is very clever. Read through Proverbs again and you can pick up that word, and I'd like you to reflect on them. It talks about the foolish man being one who is totally careless, like the first one, stubbornly careless, now, purposely careless. It's not a casualness of it all, but I decide not to care. Now, this is the kind of fools that the Proverbs is talking about. And this kind of fools, even if you whack them from the back, they won't wake up. Or they don't want to wake up. They couldn't be bothered with you. And so this is the kind of people, in short, who are deliberately dulling their senses so that they may not accept wisdom. I'm not sure if you're one of them. Even if you are one, you probably won't admit that you are one. But this is the kind of issue here. And the issue is that sometimes we just let it go. Don't want to think about it. Why bother? You know? And so we have problems in Proverbs 26 verse 11 says, it's like someone who returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Can you imagine that? Someone who vomited and goes back to it and lick it up? Such is the mentality and attitude of this kind of fools. This kind of people easily give themselves away. And if you are a parent and if you have a son or a daughter with this kind of attitude, it brings sorrow to your heart. So parents, I'm sure at some point in our parenting life, we felt like this. That no matter how hard you try, and here is a child who refuses to acknowledge wisdom purposely. Walk away from it. And this kind of people easily give themselves away. The moment when you start to talk to them, you can tell that they have that kind of mentality. Now, a third kind is what the Proverbs called scoffer or scorner, and appears about 17 times in the book of Proverbs. Here the reference is closely to that of simpletons or fools, except that the scorners have even worse attitude. They scorn correction. Even when you tell them that they are not right, they turn around and fight against you. They will say, "Why are you being a busybody? Can't you mind your own business?" And this is the kind of scorners that we have. And that the problem with society is that there are a lot of people who are like that. The way of the guilty is crooked. And the way they think, their attitude, all gone haywire, so to say. 24 verse 9, the devising of folly is sin, and a scoffer is an abomination to mankind. Perhaps the first thing that comes to your mind is the recent episode in Sim Lim Square. And you ask yourself, are there really such people? You have the answer. So what do we do with wisdom? So the Proverbs writer tells us that here it is what you need to understand. The first thing about seeking wisdom is that there must be a willingness to seek. Chapter 2, verse 2. Incline your ears to what is being taught. And the word incline is very interesting. It says, pursue, go after, don't let go. It is the word incline. You lean forward, there's a certain posture, a certain attitude in your mind that say, I am eagerly listening. And that's what incline means. And so the writer tells us that if we continue to persevere in having a willingness to seek after wisdom, then you begin to understand what it's saying to you. Secondly, there is a need to engage wisdom and interact with how it is applied. Chapter 2, verse 2 again, apply your heart to understanding. Not only have an inclination to learn, but also have a heart to apply it to understanding. Now, it's not just knowing what to do, it's doing what you know. It's practicing it, it's trying it out, it's testing it. Having understood what the wise saying is, you go out there and live it out and test it out and say, yeah, it's true. This is what it's all about. Thirdly, gone blank. Okay, I think the side ones, you have them. Okay, the third one is that there's a need for grasp in its estimation. It says that understanding the outcome as well as proper usage of wisdom in daily lives, there should be a cry for discernment. It is more than inclination now. It is crying out. It is begging. It is saying, tolong, I want to learn. All right, that's the attitude that drives you to want to live it out. And it's the understanding. In chapter 2, verse 4, it is seek as silver, as for hidden treasures. Now, this reminds us about the parable of the man who found a treasure in a field and sold everything he had just to have that treasure of the pearl. And if you found something that's really worthy of possession, you have an attitude of giving out other things so that you may have what you have found. And that's the attitude, and that's the leaning, that's the kind of inclination, that's the kind of cry. The Proverbs writer tells us that we need to have that attitude to seek after wisdom. So, what are some of the values then? What are the values and benefits of wisdom? This, we go take a look at chapter 2 from verse 5 onwards to verse 20. There are a number of points or sub-points. So if you have your Bible open and follow along, that will be very helpful for you. Okay? Chapter 2, 5 to 8, it says there is the knowledge of God and His protection. When wisdom brings a sense of reverential fear of God and initiates the help in finding knowledge of God, verse 5, that knowledge is like a storehouse of wisdom which God gives to the upright. It is interesting to note here about the upright in heart. It leads us to ask, what about those who are not upright? Those who are crooked, those who are bent. 5b to 7, we are told that God is a shield to the upright and provides a guard, a protection around those. In other words, if you understand wisdom, practice wisdom, God provides that shield for you to keep you protected, because the wisdom brings about that uprightness of heart, because you know that it is God who gives you the wisdom. And following and understanding the wisdom and applying it in your life gives you that uprightness of heart. Okay. Secondly, moral brings you moral discernment for living. Chapter 2, verse 9. This follows on in verse 9 that wisdom also brings about discernment. Discernment is when you look at something, you deal with an issue, straight away you understand whether that issue is leaning towards right or wrong. It gives you an understanding to know that sense of difference. Wisdom, when it enters the heart, gives you an ability to see through fakes, falsehoods, and lies. Thirdly, it delivers us from evil people. Verse 12. This knowledge gives us deliverance from evil ones. People who speak perversely against God and against truth will be seen through. The person who is able to walk upright path are walking in the light. And so when he walks into darkness, he is able to see through the darkness and make intelligent decisions and will prevent you from meeting up with evil people. It also delivers us from immoral women. Verse 17, metaphorically, it talks about the seductress, like immoral women. There is immorality who flatters with a flirtatious word, not directly just referring to women as a whole, but more than anything else, it's about people who are easily distracted from the truth. This is what it means. And then it will enable us for a righteous living. Verse chapter 2, verse 20. And in verse 13 to 18, you see that how Proverbs chapter 3 now, we are told that wisdom provides true happiness for those who understand wisdom. And they are worth more than silver or gold, verse 14. Even more than rubies, and almost nothing can be compared to wisdom. And in verse 16, it tells us that it offers long life, riches and honor, and her paths are pleasant and filled with peace, verse 17. And like a tree to those who hold on to it, will keep on growing. So metaphorically, it helps us understand that how embracing wisdom can help you to look at the positives of things and gain positives of life. Now, more importantly, God himself uses wisdom, he says. The writer tells us in verses 19 to 20 that even God uses wisdom in his acts of creation. The sequence, the beauty, the harmony, and all those are carefully thought out. They are wise thoughts in his mind as he goes about doing all this thing. And there is wisdom in having a sequence. There's harmony. There's purpose. There's intention. And so we need to understand, if God uses that, then we need to learn what wisdom is all about. Finally, wisdom can What does wisdom can? What can it do? It makes life a thing of beauty and joy forever. 21 to 22. It gives life to your soul and adornment of beauty to your neck, like jewelry. Furthermore, it makes life safe and secure, verse 23 to 24. It helps us to walk safely as our steps are directed by wisdom and avoiding pitfalls. You won't fall in the hole. You know where to go. You know where is the right place to be. Summarize this. There are four things that a good life would give if you follow wisdom. This is where chapter 3, verses 1 to 12 brings us to. Firstly, it talks about a peaceful life, verses 1 and 2. It leads adherents to being guided by caring and thoughtful, parents. There's a sense of guidance that leads you to it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Secondly, it gives you popularity. Wow, I think verses 3 to 4 says that, you know, there will be people who follow you. People will come and say, oh, please help me. Now, let me pick your brain, so to say. Not that it is something that we seek, but it's something that comes along when you truly embrace wisdom. Thirdly, it says you will have success. 5-6. All right, again, if you apply wisdom, God will direct the path and there will be meaning and purpose. And the testimony that we give to people is that in whatever we do, there's sense and bring about the success. Interestingly, it also says that it's health and prosperity. You know, 7, 8, and 9, and 10. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, health and prosperity. So that brings along discipline that comes along as well from 11 to 12. These are factors that will help us to take a look at a summary of what the benefits and values have. But what do we do with wisdom? So what if all this comes along? It's just like spiritual gifts. Do we seek the gifts or do we seek the giver? In the same way, as we think about this, we need to ask ourselves, do we seek God, who is the giver of wisdom, or to seek wisdom so that we can have all these benefits and values? Well, it is important for us to understand what the priority is. And once we begin to understand that priority, then we begin to say, well, this is why I'm seeking wisdom. And wisdom has its share for us to help me understand how to live life right. I'd like you to take a look at the verses after verse 12 in chapter 3, because there are a few things that I'd like to point out to you. Firstly, is that of fear. The negative aspect of wisdom. There are people who are afraid of the ruin of the wicked. They are so afraid that if they don't have wisdom, they end up like the bad or the ugly. And they pursue wisdom for wisdom's sake. Now that's a warning here. Here the Proverbs tells us that, no, you need to think about it again. That should not be a thing. Fear is always a sign of weak faith. Real courage is a result of trusting God who is sovereign. In other words, it's not wisdom that you put your trust in. It is God that you put your trust in. And when you begin to understand that you trust God who gives wisdom, then wisdom is something that comes along in your trust in God. All right? Secondly, it's not to deny good. Chapter 3, verse 27. Especially to those who deserve not to be treated with good. Yet godly wisdom exhorts us to do good anyway. And we know that as we look into the New Testament, Jesus himself had taught us many times to love our neighbor, not just to love our neighbors, but also to love our enemies. And loving our enemies is like saying to myself or ourselves, they don't deserve to be loved. Why am I loving them? How can I love them? It's difficult. Again, perhaps it brings to mind that particular individual that we know who had given us so much headache in this past week to take a look at the ugly side of Singapore tourism.
And you know this guy, there was a viral video of him on his knees begging the shop owner to give him a refund because he was scammed and cheated of his money when he bought an iPhone. And that video has gone viral so badly, the cyber bullies, I will call them really, started a campaign to raise money. And not just that, they dug up his name, his business, his IC number, his phone numbers, his wife, his pictures in Facebook, and everything else related to him, and posted them up. They ordered McDonald's and Pizza Hut to be sent to his home, make him pay for them. Of course, he didn't pay. There were stories of shop owners downstairs at Sim Lim Square when he went to buy his chap chai peng. And the guy said, oh, 380. But before he gave him the rice, he said, 1,000 forints for guarantee that you won't come back and harass me. He went to buy a drink. The drink cost 120. He said, well, it's 120, but the ice cost you $1,000. I'm not sure that's right. In fact, I'm sure it is not right. We take the law in our hands, like Robin Hood's. What should we do as Christians? What's the wise thing to do? And if you have to write a wisdom saying on this, what would you write? What would you help us understand? Many would say he deserved to be treated that way. But Proverbs tells us not to deny good, even to those who don't deserve it. Now more than that, Proverbs also tell us, we got the next one, alright, not to delay good, not just deny, but not to delay it. In fact, if you have to do good right away. Don't wait. And if you wait, that's not wise. And so when we look around us, there are so many people out there who need the good from us. Are we denying them and delaying them? Proverbs says, don't. Worse, there would be people who say, not only do I deny and delay, I plan evil against them. Absolute no-no. Proverbs is very clear for us as we understand this. So, what are two things that are positive application of this? The first is to have the right attitude. What would your attitude be towards wisdom? How do we have the right attitude? What does it mean to have the right attitude? To seek after wisdom and understand what it is and start practicing it on a small scale. Secondly, I will call it the five-fold process. What is this five-fold process? Many of us know the word of God hand, right? The word of God hand. Read, study, reflect, meditate, and memorize, right? Now, I will say the five-fold process for wisdom is to read, study, hear, read, study, reflect, and do. Apply. No point knowing what wisdom is without doing and applying wisdom in your life. So it is important as we think about wisdom, how do we apply them in our lives? What do we do with wisdom? I'm going to do a very simple exercise for us this morning. In fact, I think this evening too, I will say the same thing. As part of our reflection, how many of you have got a Facebook account? Can I see a raise of hand? Well, maybe I put it this way. How many of you don't have a Facebook account? Oh, wow. Okay, that's quite a number of you. Okay, for those of you who have got a Facebook account, let me tell you what you can do. You can search and join the group ORPC. Okay, there's an ORPC group on Facebook. And all you need to do is to request to join the group and giving your name, your full name, and which service you attend. In this case, if you're here in the morning service, and when do you start coming to church, all right? And the administrator will look at those and add you to the group. If you are not a member of Facebook, don't fret. In the bulletin, that is my email address. Okay, just send me an email and that will help. Alright, now, this is what I want you to do. Take a look at this picture. This picture will also be posted on Facebook. And look at it very carefully. I have another similar one taken, both about the same theme, but slightly different. What I'd like you to do is to think about this. Because Proverbs is not exhaustive, there are many wisdom sayings in many places. And what we need to do is to understand what it's saying to us. But we can look at everyday, ordinary things and think about what wisdom can come out of this. You know, there have been a lot of people who say, well, putting a key and have a half cup of coffee there helped me to choke my place in hawker center. You know, maybe there's a wisdom about choking place in hawker center. I don't know. Now, what I'd like you to do is to look at these pictures and submit entries of what you think is a wise saying based on this picture. Okay? Now, I will find the best wise saying. I have got prizes for you, okay? If you can give me a wise saying and your wise saying is accepted as the best, there will be a prize for you. All right. Let me conclude by saying this. Those who put everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. One example, right? A wise saying. But here is a wise saying that helps us to recap what we've been talking about. Those who put everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. How may we learn to be wise as God has given us wisdom? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the way you have been teaching us and guiding us and helping us understand what wisdom is all about. You are wise. You have taught us wisdom. Now help us understand wisdom and apply wisdom in our lives. For even when Christ was teaching on earth, the parables that he had used, the teaching, are filled with wise sayings too. It's not just about your gospel. It's about our lives. How we may truly be responsible living a life that brings honor and glory to your name. So we come to you, Lord, asking you to teach us. May your Spirit continue to guide us into your truth and help us to discern right from wrong. And that we may truly live a life that will be like honeys to bees. That people will come to us and find out who we are in our relationship with you. Be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.